Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for physical therapists nationwide. An exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619.
This is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
Hello and welcome to the PT Pintcast, the best conversations have happy hours. Welcome to ours. I have the privilege of hosting PT Pintcast, 175,000 downloads in 83 different countries. I am your guest host, John Denoyles, but you know what? Tonight it's not about me. Tonight we are talking with the newly crowned Dr. James R. McKay. He just passed his boards, he's graduated, and I've got a lot of questions for you, Jimmy. First question is always the hardest, though. What are we drinking tonight?
Tonight we're drinking America. We haven't had this on the show yet, so we have to cheers with America.
Here's a cheers.
It was formerly known as Budweiser. Now we're just drinking America.
So the top says Budweiser, but it is an
America. It does say America.
It does say America beer. So
I like that. Good intro.
Thank you.
This is the first time you've ever hosted a podcast, because you're a host. You've been on my podcast.
Absolutely, yeah. Have never done anything like this before. So you can critique me the whole way.
Well, let's set the table.
All right.
Where are we?
We are at my table, my kitchen,
Your kitchen table.
Actually.
Upstate New York.
In Montgomery, New York.
And I grew up the next town over. Your wife is putting your kids to bed right now.
Yes, she
is. While we're podcasting at your kitchen table. And we're doing this because, graduated last week. And now I'm just doing the Jimmy McKay Roadshow. I'm just kind of cruising around. My mom and dad are throwing me a graduation party tomorrow. And you guys are coming. I'm trying to get a slip and slide for the party.
Yeah, because it's going to be about 105 degrees and we're going to need a slip and slide.
It's going to be bad.
I hope you can find something. So, yeah. I figure now it's time to turn the table a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let someone ask you the questions and get a good perspective.
It's a little uncomfortable, I'll be honest with you. And I understand why you were a little on edge the first time I interviewed
you. You know what? I feel great right now. So let's get to it. So you just graduated. You passed the boards. Congratulations.
I was nervous.
Tell me about the boards really quick. You can't say any questions or else you'd be arrested and all that stuff,
gotcha,
right?
Gotcha. You signed all that. I can't tell you any questions.
Right, but
Number three is B. I'll be completely honest with you. I am so crappy at taking tests. We'd come out of tests in PT school, boards included. Someone would be like, remember that question about the hamstring? I'd be like, no, I don't remember. I would honestly think, did I miss a page on my test because I can't remember that question? Because I'm so mind numb. And that's exactly how the boards were. I walked out. I felt like I hit by a truck. At one point during the boards, because the clock's in the top right-hand corner telling you how much time is left, I had to take a break. Just had to mentally kind of chill out for a second. And I checked my pulse. And I was like, I was almost at like 100. And I was like, I'm sitting still answering questions. And I'm almost at like 100 beats a minute. I'm like a marathon runner. I'm an endurance athlete. I have a low resting heart rate.
Yeah, so what should your pulse have been?
My pulse should have been like, I don't know, like 55 or something. I don't know, low. But I thought it was a fair test in terms of I took score builders and O'Sullivan practice tests, and those I thought were very, very hard, and they kind of tout themselves at being very, very difficult.
Right. They
kind
say like, if you get like a 70, you'll probably pass the boards.
Right. And then I took, and I think the best $100 you can spend is on the PEAT. Did you do the PEAT?
Yes, I did.
Best $100 you could spend.
Absolutely.
It's like, it was like a week before the boards, and I'm like, am I going to do it? Am I not going to do it? My roommate had done it, and Trevor was like, dude, do it. And you get like a retired test and a practice test. Mm-hmm. And I did it. And it actually made me feel better because the questions they were just more direct.
Right.
I thought the other prep services were difficult, which I guess was good because it scared the crap out of me into studying more. But the PEAT was like, by the time I was done reading the question, I knew what they were asking. When I read O'Sullivan, by the time I was done reading the question, I had to reread the question because I was like, what the hell did I just read?
Yeah.
Because I have like a short attention span.
Yeah, my program recommended O'Sullivan because it was tough. Mm-hmm. But I think bottom line is you need to go through, like you said, just take some tests. Get the questions.
So some reps.
Right. Get some reps. And then you kind of get the feel for the test.
Right. So walked out of there, and I've heard my CI, Elisa, everybody who I talked to was like, you're going to walk out of there, and you're gonna say, well, got to sign up for the next test because I just failed that one.
Right.
And that's exactly
a good sign, because then you're questioning yourself. If you came out of there and said, I got 100, no problem, no issue, that's where I hear you had some issues. But.
Yeah. So I felt like I got wrecked. I'm just completely hit by a truck. And then we went to the bar. And then I actually got wrecked. Because I was like, it's whatever, it's over. you know, I've done it. I hit submit, and then yeah, we passed. I was freaking out.
Yeah, I think I had more fun the night after I took the test than when I actually found out I passed the test.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was cool. You're setting yourself up. You need relief.
It's bad.
Yeah. So what'd you do that night?
The night I found out I passed?
Yeah. No, the night you took the test.
Well, we went immediately to a bar after the test. We walked out and we just texted all of our classmates. Like, as soon as you get out, because other people had started after me. As soon as you get out, meet us here. And then we went out to a Mexican restaurant bar. We drank tequila. And then I believe we had to go clinic the next day. Because Marymount is different in that we finish on a clinical rotation. So they let us have the day off to take the test, but not the day after. So we finished on a clinical. I had to go to clinic the next day.
Yeah. Your brain was numb. People didn't get better.
Nobody got better than that. I was on autopilot. I was phoning it in.
Yeah. All right. So I'm a new student. Let's say I'm a new student. Okay. I am not.
Now is the circle of life. Now is the new students at this time of August. Right. They're all going in right now.
Right. You know, I feel like we pass a baton every year. Every year at our clinic, we have new PT aides come in and they kind of just get a feeling. We don't let them do any clinical stuff, but they look and they observe. So now today, someone just left. She's a wonderful, amazing person. She's going to be going to Columbia this year.
Name dropper.
Yeah, Victoria Deering. She's going to do
Columbia University.
She's going to do great. Yes.
We've got a girl who's actually kind of volunteering for the podcast, whose name is Megan Zwellen. She's going to be at Columbia as well.
Maybe they'll be best
friends.
They'll
be best of friends.
Yes, absolutely. So given your whole perspective, what you've done the last 3 years and taking the test, I think you're in a little bit different of a boat. You know, you've done other things. You were in communication. You were in radio for so long. What are you going to tell someone that first time that they're doing this? I mean, they're
what advice would I give to someone who's starting right now?
What are your words of wisdom?
All right. Well, good words of wisdom. I don't want to steal them from someone else, but I will. My advisor and my chair who taught our first year classes, which was Sky Donovan. I refer to her a lot on the show. Mm-hmm. She maintained first year is always that year to kind of figure out who's supposed to be there. If it's going to be the washout year, it's going to be the first year.
Right.
So the words of wisdom, the thing she kept ramming into our brains was big picture, everything big picture, big picture, big picture, big picture. How is this going to apply, do you think, to a patient in 3 years from now? When you're a second year student, in 2 years from now, how are you going to apply this? Yes, I understand we need to know the neuroanatomy. I need to know where every little part of the brain is at all times and know exactly what it does. But really, big picture, big picture, big picture, big picture. Because if I can ever actually see any part of your brain, you need direct pressure and an ambulance. You do not need physical therapy. So I always say big picture because that's where I come from. I can't memorize all that stuff. I passed all the tests.
No, don't they tell you, you know, you take anatomy, you memorize everything, and then 2 weeks later, you're supposedly only able to memorize 25% or recall 25%.
So big picture.
Right.
Big picture. What else would I say? I would say don't be too hard on yourself because sometimes we can be our own worst enemies. And now that I'm done, I can actually see that. But of course, when I was in the middle of it, you can't. And I would say this, and this is one thing that I guess someone else had said and I just didn't pay attention. And I want to hear your perspective on this. Buy a review book, an NPTE review book, and keep it handy and maybe kind of review out of that because that's ultimately the biggest picture possible. Yeah. That's everything boiled down.
I had a classmate, Jillian Johnson. She, I think it was first or second year, she got a review book. And we're like, you know, what an overachiever.
Too
what
early.
Does she think? Yeah, way too early. Like, what are we thinking? And then when it came time that I had to start studying for this, I'm thinking, I wish I had this for my test. Yeah. I wish I started looking at this. So yes and no. I mean, it depends what kind of study you are, but I wish I had that because it gave me, I think it was a little more broad and it gave me that big picture.
We know curriculums don't change that much, you know, in terms of the scope of the NPTE.
Right.
So the schools are teaching to that, not specifically, but generally. So it wouldn't be good to have. I'm not saying only study from that. By all means, buy all the textbooks and, you know, definitely go over your teacher's notes.
All the textbooks, Jimmy?
I rented some of the textbooks. I'm not a textbook guy. I borrowed some.
Yep.
But definitely focus on your professor's notes because that's going to be on her or his test. But ultimately, big picture, and it's a good way to review broad terms. You don't understand convex, concave? Good, go there because that's not going to change.
Right.
You know, your professor might explain it differently, but it's a rule.
Right.
Right. So I would say that would be my other piece of advice. Big picture and don't be too hard on yourself and maybe buy a review book early because I bought one late.
All right. How about the whole process? So one of my classmates said it best with the 3 years. Forget the boards. She said, whole thing of going through school. And I think a lot of these people coming into school are wondering, how am I going to get through this?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to work so hard. I'm not going to have a life. Can't do this. I can't do that. And what she said was, PT school goes really fast, but you feel every minute of it.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
That's true. So I actually spoke to some, I think I emailed a first year during my third year. And I did this because, I mean, you always speak from what you know. And I said, PT school is a triathlon. And she said, what do you mean? I said, first year, you're in the water. Okay. If you've ever done a triathlon, you start with a swim, and there's a lot of moving around, but not a lot.
And people are like kicking you inadvertently. Panic, you know, you might drown. There's divers underneath just to make sure you don't drown. Right?
First year, all you try to do, keep your head above water.
Right.
You just want to be there. You just want to get out of the water and still in the race.
Right.
Okay. So now that's the washout year. That's the year they really drill the basics into you. Can you hack it? Are you gonna be worth it to have in the second and third year? So first year is the swim. It's a whole lot of moving around, not a lot happening. You're off balance. You're in the water. You have nothing holding you up. That's what first year is going to feel like, that you are neck deep and have to go really, really far to get to the next step. You don't even have to finish. You can't say finish. It's the next step. Second year is the long, long grind. It's you get on the bike and you've got to ride forever. Now, you're kind of comfortable. You know, you're on a bike, so you're balanced, but only if you're moving. Faster you're moving, the better you are on the bike, and that's year number two. So keep moving. Do not stop. Don't take any sharp turns, too, because you could wobble and fall over.
Right.
And then year three, you're thinking, well, now I'm the most stable because I'm on my feet. Year three, the third event in the triathlon is the run. But now you're beat up. By the time you get to the run, you've gotten your ass kicked for 2 years. And now you're thinking the finish line is so close and yet so far.
Right.
So now you're ground down, but you know some stuff, but you still feel like you don't know anything. So it's that whole trust yourself, you know more than you think, is what our professors would tell us too. You know more than you think. Trust yourself. Treat what you see is what you always hear in clinic too. So year three, you're on your feet, but you're kind of wallet. But also, keep moving. Yeah. Keep moving forward, you'll finish.
So I've never done a triathlon, but I've done a marathon. And that marathon, you can, if you just want to finish, you can go kind of slow.
You can slog
through. Right, and you can, or you can just dog it. You can dog it or go as fast as you can. It's so hard third year with motivation.
Yeah.
What do you tell someone about that? So they're going to their third year now.
I would say don't fumble on the one, you know, pay attention to the little things. By the time you're in the third year, you've already been in clinic once or, depending on your program, once or twice or maybe three times by the time you're a third year student. Don't forget to pay attention to the little things, you know. I mean, you're still a student. You're always being assessed and graded, but you're also still able to learn. Be okay with being like, you're a third year student. You're not a PT yet. And I've only been at PT for about a week, but I haven't started the job yet, but that's fine.
Right, but you can call yourself doctor now.
I can. Dr. James. Mom likes to do that. I call myself a PT. Mom likes to say it's doctor.
Right. I had a lot of classmates, just amazing. You know, they had big aspirations. They knew what they wanted to do. Some didn't, but then they figured it out. Not a lot of them, and I actually can't think of one, came in and said, I'm going to do a podcast. All right. So
smart.
What you've learned, a lot of really good lines. You've interviewed some pioneers in our profession, not just pioneers, but then some people who are cutting edge. What have you learned overall? Not what's best about what you do, and what can you take away from it? And most of all, how is it going to help your patient?
Ooh, it's a lot of questions. Let me answer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I asked you three.
He asked me three questions.
What was the best thing that you learned? What was your favorite learning? I don't want something specific.
Okay, good.
I don't want a line that won some great PT set.
Okay. What I learned was just from inviting guests on the podcast. I started a podcast in PT school. Probably not the best thing to do just because they take a while. They're kind of time consuming. But for me, I'm a little ADD. I don't sit still very long. What I learned about physical therapy just by inviting people on the show was PTs are really fucking awesome because no one said no. As you said, I had pioneered people and super smart and well known, and I kept just emailing people, and I led with please and I ended up with thank you. But in between, I just said, I'm a student and I'd love to pick your brain for a half hour, 45 minutes. You know, I really respect what you do. I'd love to talk to you about, you know, A, B, or C. And everybody said yes. They just wanted to be involved. So I'm looking at that. I'm saying I'm going into this field where like the biggest names in PT, and I mean, we can get into that a little more later, it's not just the biggest names in PT. It's like you're a PT. You've got a schedule. You've got a life. And everybody said yes. Everybody was like, yeah, I'll give you an hour.
I get to say this, and I don't think you can, but I get to say this because I listen to all these, is that some of the best words, some of the best wisdom, some of the best take-home points that I got, even things that I would apply in the clinic, weren't necessarily coming from the biggest names. Some of these guys, they're brilliant, but the biggest names aren't necessarily the best PTs. I can say that you can't. right, because you're interviewing them. Go on. Sorry to interrupt.
I've said it before, is I have two rules with every episode is I want to have fun and learn something, and I haven't missed yet, and we've done 100 or so of these, and that's what I've learned about PT, and everybody's humble. I talked to Shirley Sarman, like she's like the grandmother of PT. Is there anybody who's been doing it longer at that level? And even she, like, I emailed her and she was like, yeah, what do you need? And then when are we talking? And then I asked her to talk for 45 minutes and we talked for an hour and a half. And she would have kept, we'd still be talking if I didn't cut her off, And that's cool. I mean, all she wanted to do was talk. She had no idea how many people were going to hear the podcast, because at that point, we hadn't done many episodes. I mean, she could have been like, yeah, call me back when you're on my level. That's what she could have said, because she's Shirley Sarman.
Right.
And she didn't.
But it didn't matter to her.
Right. She wanted to talk. She would have just talked to one student. She would have talked to me for 2 hours.
You may have just called her and said, nothing about a podcast. Right. Say, I want to talk.
And she would have talked.
Right.
And that's not just her. I mean, that's, Mike Ryman from Duke. I mean, I'm talking Judy Cito, which we also interviewed in your kitchen.
On my kitchen table.
From the LA Lakers. And they would just talk. Stefania Bell. We talked for an hour and change. And then we wound up, the episode ended. We talked for an hour and change more because she just wanted to talk PT and communicate. I mean, that's her gig. I mean, I could list anybody on that list.
Right.
From the 100 episodes that we did. Patients, too. We interviewed patients. And we talked to Garrett.
Garrett, yeah.
Garrett. They don't have to do that. They don't have to tell their story. That's their story. And that's cool. That's what I said the other day in one of the episodes with Jason Bellamy, who's the communications guy for the APTA, is that's the biggest ringing endorsement for our field, is if a patient wants to tell their story. Because I can tell you how great PT is all day long. And you're going to be like, well, of course you're going to tell me. But when a consumer of it, when a Garrett tells that story, when an Ed Devitt tells that story, another patient we interviewed, that's the thing that hits it home for me, because I don't know if I've said this in the podcast too, I'm kind of unconfident. I'm not 100% sure that I should have been a PT or should be a PT, or I'm going to be good or at all. But hearing what these people get out of PT makes me want to go, all right, if I just work a little harder, I can be whatever that person's PT was like, and maybe I can help someone like them.
If you wake up every morning, especially every Monday morning, and say, I'm a great PT, I'm 110% sure I should have done this, I think you're in the wrong. I think there always should be a little question, a little anxiety, because that means there's always a little bit of stress. Not too much. You don't want to do too much. But then you go in every day, and I think that's more reassurance for everyone who's counting on you to get them better. I've only been doing this for a few years, but I realize even if I don't know what I'm doing, or I think I don't know what I'm doing, you find something. And I've written blogs about this and everything, and it's, you find something. So you're going to have a few moments where you're thinking, what the hell is that? Right? And you start somewhere. And you eventually figure it out, and you work with the patient. Not every patient's saying, all right, I'm helpless, cure me.
Right.
Press this button, make me better. That's the reality. I mean, you're going to have your challenging situations, but you're going to figure it out. So last part of that question is...
What was the last part? I can't remember.
Yeah. How do you think with doing this podcast, something very different, I honestly can say I don't know anyone else who's done this as a student, how is this going to help your patient? How is this going to help you in the clinic?
I had a professor, I had two professors, the tale of two cities, the tale of two professors. I had one who heard the premise for the podcast and said, you absolutely need to do this. And I had another who said, you should not do this at all, because this is going to take up way too much of your time. And I decided...
They were both right.
Wow. And then I had another person that I wound up interviewing who wound up offering me a job, who I'm going to start working for very shortly, who said, you're the person benefiting from this podcast the most, because you get to ask any question you want. So I try to be the voice of the audience. If you really listen to any of the podcasts, I'm giving away podcast secrets. I talk a lot in the first 4 to 5 minutes, and then I try to shut the hell up. I try to make the guests feel like, hey, no, this is cool. I'm your training wheels. I'll make sure nothing, there's no dead air and there's nothing.
Are you giving me tips now? Am I doing something wrong?
You're doing fine. You're doing fine. And then I try to, trail off with my interjections, because no one's here to listen to me. Listen to the guest. The cool part is I get to interject throughout that. So if someone throws something out, if one of the guests throws an idea out and I honestly don't get it, or I don't understand it completely, I want to be able to say that, because if I try to pretend I'm the stupidest guy in the room, and it's real easy for me to pretend that, if I don't understand it, and I ask a question and they explain it and now I understand it, I now think everybody in the room now understands. Because if I'm the dumbest guy, now everybody gets it. We're all on the same page. Let's not move forward. It's similar to what gave me the idea for the podcast was I'm in a conference, I'm in a room full of 1,000 people listening to a speaker, and I didn't get the last thing he said. But I'm probably not in that room at a conference, not going to raise my hand and say, can you go back over that? Because that would be socially weird and awkward. But if I can do that in an intimate setting, that person's more likely to go, yeah, oh no, I'm sorry, I used some jargon there, maybe I didn't need to. Let me go back and explain that. And now I get it, because he just said it differently. It's not, I did not understand the concept. I just didn't understand the way he explained it. If I can understand that as the dumbest guy in the room, everybody gets it and we can move forward. What do I learn? This is the longest answer to the short question. What yeah. do I learn? I mean, everything.
But how does that help the patient in the clinic? And I can steer you in this one.
It's going to help my thought processes, I think. I don't think I ever learned a clinical treatment technique by interviewing someone and, you know, how to place my hands better or, you know, more effective. I think I just learned it's okay to have different approaches, because I've interviewed a bunch of different people who would never necessarily, two people not agreeing is okay because they could both be right, you know, and you never know with an individual patient, which approach is it going to be?
Exactly. Dr. McKay, Jimmy, that's the answer right there. So
did I get that one right? Is that on the
you're going to have some brilliant patients, and you're going to have some patients who are brilliant and have no clue what's going on. And you're going to have to approach it different ways. Yeah. And so what you're saying is, I don't understand it. There's things I'm going to say that they're not going to understand it. And when I notice that and I recognize that, is how do I change it? How do I say it differently? And I got to be honest, sometimes I'm working with a patient and I try and dumb it down and it makes it worse. I start using my technical words, I get out of model, and all of a sudden they understand. Yeah. So you never know. So it's a different approach.
Know your audience.
Right. So you're listening to someone talk and they're over your head, or that last point you don't get, you're the patient there.
Right.
You're the audience. That communication, that whole process, that's 90-95% of the whole game.
I didn't think I believed that as much. Like, we'd go through you know, what would you do with this type of pathology, what would you do, and a lot of times, like, that whole patient education thing would come up, and it was in every single patient. I was like, well, that's a throwaway. I'm gonna memorize that for the test. If that's the question I'll just always put patient education down. And it was kind of just a throwaway, a giveaway. And then I got into clinic and I was like, oh, like, if you explain this to someone, that's a big deal. But yeah. We take what we know as PT, even just PT students, for granted. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows why the glute med is a big deal. Like, you have knee pain.
Right.
But they don't. But no. If I explain it to someone, they'll buy in, and now they'll do the exercises I give them. They're like, oh, he explained why this is a big deal. But I do have some patients who are like, just tell me what to do. But that's just the way they think.
Right. That's where the communication comes into play. We want, as physical therapists, to be the magician. We want someone to come in and we watch them walk. And they're like, you know what? I got it. And you do some magical manual therapy. Look, I love some manual therapy, but technique. You do some sexy, wonderful technique. And they look at you and say, how did you do that? Look, I love that feeling in the clinic. But the history, everything will tell you 80-90%, you're going to figure it all out then. And then what you tell the patient, especially, you know, you start getting chronic pain, we are not getting into that discussion right now, but that's where that whole communication comes in. Mike Raymond's new textbook, he's got a whole section on communication written by John Sylvain. That's key. That's wonderful. That's something you have. So interview time, speaking of what you have, it's time to look for a job, right?
Yeah. Right.
You're out there. You just passed the boards. You're partying and everything. But reality is going to have to set in. You can't just keep this up. I mean, you can keep mooching off of people. You're drinking my beer now, my American beer.
Do you mind if I sleep on your couch?
That's totally cool.
Cool.
But just for tonight.
Okay.
So why are you different?
Oh, I don't know. That, am I?
When you go into an interview, they're not going to ask you, why are you different? You're going to tell them why you're different. And what are you going to say?
For me specifically, it's going to sound cocky. I'm prefacing it by saying it's going to sound cocky. I've never been on a job interview that I didn't land a job.
That's awesome.
That's different.
Is that one job or 20?
No, I've had a couple. And here's why. Because I typically don't go on job interviews unless I think I'm a pretty good match for the job. So I do a ton of research beforehand and go, would I want to work there? Otherwise, why am I wasting my time and theirs? Number two, do I think I'm a good fit already? Do I think I'm honestly a good fit? Because if I honestly don't think I'm a good fit, I'm probably not going to go on the interview anyway. So I've done a ton of research before, which is like checking out their website. That's like level negative one. Like that's just, that's bottom line. Number two is find out people who work there or are working there and try to insert yourself into a conversation. So I've done that before. So I don't go into a job interview unless I'm feeling pretty good about, do I want to work there? And do I think I at least fit with their language, you know, with that whole vibe. So how am I different? I don't know. That's hard.
And that's, again, maybe that's, you could not answer that question. That's not something that someone's going to ask you, be like, hello, you know, Dr. James, what's different about you? You're going to have to convey that during the 100%. Interview.
Oh, okay. Are we doing that?
Yeah. Gotcha. And generally speaking, to someone going on an interview, what are you going to say? What are you going to get into? How are you going to, you're the beauty pageant person you know. They're at the end, they're going to ask you a question, and no matter what, you're going to spin it towards. Right.
So I go back to your experiences. Go back to and tell a story. Tell a story that's true. I mean, I had a question on a job interview a couple weeks ago with, what's your favorite joint? You know, what do you like to?
It's totally the shoulder,
right? And I'm like, I thought, what's the right answer? You know, what's the right answer here? I should pick a joint. And then I kind of just sat there for a second, you know, half a heartbeat, and I was like, I don't have a favorite joint.
And I got your answer.
What's the answer?
Whatever is important to the patient.
Ooh, right? That's good.
If you didn't answer that. Yeah, that's a corny answer. What was your answer?
My answer was I honestly don't have a favorite joint. And I thought and I brought this back to PT school. I said, I thought, you know, people specialized because orthopedic surgeons, they specialize. I'm a knee guy. I'm a shoulder guy. And I was like, well, I guess I'm a PT. Should I have like a specialty? I like runners. So should I be like a knee, ankle, hip guy? And then I got into clinic and I'm like, I'd be real bored if all I saw was knees all day long. I honestly would. Right. I'd be real bored. I'd want to see some variety. So I said, you know, I don't have a favorite joint. I kind of like lots of them. Not a huge, you know, DIP or PIP fan. Just, I don't want to do the right hand thing. But I didn't have a favorite joint. And I think most of the questions on the interviews are, how are you going to respond to this question? Like, screw the answer. But how are you going to respond to this answer? Are you going to give me the canned answer that everybody's going to go, what's your biggest weakness? Well, you know, I'm a perfectionist. I get after a problem and I can't stop until it's solved. Great. You didn't answer the question. That's a canned answer. I would say, how am I different? Be honest. Draw from your experiences. But again, you know, I started a podcast because I was a radio DJ. You've got something. You know, anybody listening, you've got it. You've got something you're going to draw from. Maybe you were a gymnast or something like that. You can draw something. I don't have that. I can't draw from that. But you've got something that you can connect two dots. So in a job interview, like, the less you can lie and be fake about it, the better. And maybe the job's not for you. Maybe you're not supposed to get that
lie?
Job. No. I mean, I'm...
The less you have to lie.
Yeah, I'm super crappy at lying. I'm bad at poker. And I'm good at bullshitting, but not at lying. There's a difference.
Right. So you say you should be honest. You should be upfront.
Be honest. Maybe
and
you
not trying to make
job.
Yourself sound
Yes. Because what if
incredible.
You take the job and you don't fit what they need?
Right. You can't achieve what you said.
You're both screwed.
Yeah. Never. All right. So we're going to take a quick break and reload on some America.
We need some more
when
beer.
We come back, we're gonna ask Jimmy what he's looking for in an employer and maybe some good pickup lines that he might have. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
I don't have any. Good. I don't have any good lines. High is the best line.
I'm going to tell the license story.
We got 23 5-star ratings. And 1 3-star rating. Hey, we can't be perfect all the time. Give us a rating and review on iTunes so we can print them out and hang them on our fridge. This is the PT Pintcast.
Thought about a career as a traveling physical therapist? Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for PTs nationwide. Whether you're a new graduate or seasoned therapist, an exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
We're working our brain and our brachioradialis at the same time. This is the PT Pinecast, brewed by Arias PT Staffing. Want a job? Ask Arias.
We're back on the PT Pinecast.
And we're back on the PT Pinecast. I was supposed to say that, by the way.
All right. It's old hat.
So again, let's flip the table a little bit.
All right.
We talked about things you would be asked during an interview.
Right.
What are you looking for? What do you want? What do you think is best to look at or to ask during an interview? Okay. What do you think is important to, so that you can have a long-term satisfaction job?
I have typically inserted myself into situations where I can kind of observe the place that I may or may not want to work. And I did that by volunteering or maybe just asking to shadow.
Good.
And then I just kind of be fly on the wall and see how the place runs. You know, if you think that the person that you're dating is going to be the same person on the first date that they are on the 100th date, I think you're fooling yourself. You know what I mean? Like, that person's the best version of themselves on the first date. So in an interview, the interviewee and the interviewer are going to be like the best versions of themselves.
Sure.
But I don't want the best version. I want the Monday morning, you know, you've been out all weekend version. What's that person going to be like at a crappy time?
You
know?
So have you ever met that PT or that person who's hiring you that you're like, wow, this person is great. Yes. This guy, this woman. And then you observe them in the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And you see something different. Has that ever happened to you?
Yes. Yeah. And I did not accept a job there.
Right.
I've seen a clinic that it looked good, and then I test drove it, and I said, it's not bad, it's just not for me.
Right.
And that's important. I don't want you to treat a job interview like The Bachelor, because all the dudes on The Bachelorette, because I forget how these shows work. So The Bachelorette, the chick, there's one chick and there's 50 dudes or whatever. The goal of The Bachelor or Bachelorette should not be land the girl. It should be, is the girl right for you? So right. It shouldn't be, is the job, the goal of the job interview is land the job. It should be like, you should be testing them as much as they're testing you. Dance around, you know?
Right. I think a lot of people go in and say, I just got to get a job. I got to make myself, you know. And sometimes that is necessary for financial reasons, whatever, but you can't just be that. And PTs, we go to grad school, we go do this, we're competitive, we want to win. But there's got to be a point during that interview or during that whole process where you're like, you know what, maybe this isn't right for me.
Right.
So what are you looking for?
The same thing I look for in a podcast guest. So when I first started this show, I was like, we're going to just pick these crazy topics in PT and we're going to find someone who's really an expert on it, and then we'll talk to them. And then we figured out that just because you're an expert on something doesn't mean you have a good personality. I can't translate someone without a good personality to a good podcast guest. I can't. So I'm looking for personality because I'm a people-driven kind of person. Maybe you're not, and that's fine. But this is just specific to me. Am I going to be able to ask you questions, feel comfortable enough to ask you questions? Am I going to feel comfortable enough to look stupid in front of you or feel stupid in front of you? Like, mm-hmm. You know what, dude? I don't, the last three things you said, I don't get it. Can you explain that again? If you don't feel comfortable enough to say that to the person you're going to work for or that mentor, don't work for them. Find that person. So I look for vibe. It came from a radio background. It was all about, I didn't want to work for a country station. Why? Because I don't like that vibe. That's not me. I don't speak that language. So I work for a rock station. Why? Because that's my language. That was what I was comfortable with. So find that, you know, and that's the cool thing about PT is you can find, you know, vibes in clinics in the same town that are vastly different. You know, am I going to fit in here? Am I going to be part of the culture? Am I going to speak the same language? And if you don't, man, don't take that job because you're going to waste that clinic's time and you're going to waste your own time, which is even worse because you knew it going in. That clinic might not have known, hey, he thought this wasn't going to work going in, but you did. Again, winning the job, that shouldn't be the goal. Don't date a girl because she said yes. Date a girl because you really, really like her and you somehow wore her down enough that she said yes. But make sure it fits, you know? Don't just find someone who says yes.
So you're saying wear the employer down.
Wear the employer down. Don't be a job search whore.
All right.
Said whore.
You should probably edit that out.
Yeah, probably not.
And we're back. I've always wanted to say that. As an interviewer or even a patient, maybe this is me, but I just think back to a story. This is probably a good 10 years ago, if not more. I'm with you on a college campus. We had both graduated.
Oh, this is 10 years ago. Oh,
yeah. From now.
So like, we're on a college campus. Which college campus was it?
It was at Marist, and we were at my sister-in-law's 21st birthday party. So,
right.
You were, you know.
No, I don't.
What? You're yourself. So we're in a house party, and you're talking to a girl, right? I think you had this feeling like, and this happens to patients, is you want to feel legitimate. You okay. want to do what you can to make them go along with you, to buy in.
To
right?
my story.
Right. And not all girls or guys are that smart. So your hook was, I'm his brother. And you pointed to me. Right?
Yeah.
Right? And I thought, okay, where is he going with this? And she's like, really? And you said, yes. Here's our license, but we have different names because we have a different father. So
I don't know.
So you showed her the license and we had completely different names. We looked nothing alike. And just because you showed her the license, she said, oh.
She bought in.
She bought in.
Right. I don't recommend this to anybody, by the way.
No, and I don't either. But she was...
wasn't the sharpest tool.
She was, no. And she may have had a few. There's this communication part. There's this radio part. There's this charisma about you. What, as an interviewer, if I'm interviewing you, what? How do I see the real you? Because I know you're going to be an amazing PT. You worked hard. You put way more in than you thought you probably ever would, right? Is the juice worth the juice worth the squeeze, right? So how do I know you're legit?
I don't know. Wait, so what do you mean? How do you know I'm legit?
How do I know you're sincere?
All right.
And not just pull my chain, because you've got a podcast.
Right.
You've got... women, because you show them your license, right?
That was 10 years ago.
That was 10 years ago. Right. Nothing like that anymore, right? You've moved on. But you know how to talk the talk.
I think this goes back to one radio trick that I was taught. So when you're in the radio studio, the famous picture of the radio DJ in the radio studio is big microphone and the big set of headphones. You're talking like this. And you're talking, and coming up, we got traffic, news, weather. Traffic.
I really wanted to talk like that, but I was told not to.
So my deal was, what I was taught was, always have one earphone off of your ear. And I was like, why do you do that? It's so that the person talking, the DJ, can always hear how they actually sound in the room. So are you sounding like yourself or not? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, that kind of makes sense, because you don't want to talk like a radio DJ, because you can talk like a radio DJ and that's cool. But the audience will always know that something's wrong. Something's fake. They might not be able to pinpoint it, and they might not even care long enough to figure out what's fake about it. But they'll know something's fake. That guy doesn't talk to his girlfriend like that. He doesn't, you know, say Merry Christmas like this. Merry Christmas, Mom. Like, he could, but he doesn't. So the audience is like, that guy's fake. I don't know what about him is fake. So I think if you're talking to patients aren't idiots. You know, we have some specialized knowledge as PTs that they don't have, but they know when someone's shoveling shit against the
Absolutely.
Tide.
Absolutely. I mean, they have Google.
Yes. Right? I mean, this is the most, every day is the most well-informed patient that's ever lived. I mean, the thing we have in our pocket, you know, has more, you know, computational power than the Apollo moon lander. You can find out anything about, if I tell you you have FAI, 10 minutes later, that patient can figure out what FAI is and what the best treatment, how come you're not doing this? So I think, how do you know if I'm being me? I think just pay attention. You know, if you think you're being bamboozled, you probably are. When you're younger and you're trying to tell a girl a story about, you know, this is my brother, here's my ID. I'm trying to, you know, then I had no other line or game, I still don't. So you're just trying to look for something. But when you're in front of a patient, just be honest. And that's how you figure it out. We have pretty good honesty radar. I also heard in some episode or multiple episodes, I don't know is a great answer. Mm-hmm. If it's true. If you honestly don't know, say it. The other option is bamboozling somebody, which is going to come back to bite you. It's not going to help either of you. I can't remember what the question was.
It doesn't matter, okay. But it leads me into another question. You have a filter. So you're saying something, you're spewing something out. And some days you're just busy and things are just coming out of your mouth. Once in a while, you hear something that you said and you say, did I really just say that?
Yeah.
But you're not the best critic of yourself. I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
All right. You're going to find that, you know, you're going to be pretty good because I know you, but the best people you can go to is your aides, the office staff, the other PTs. And you form a good relationship with them and you force them, not force them, but tell them, be honest with you. What am I doing? How am I doing? What am I saying? How are the people responding? And then after a while, they'll start telling you, they'll become comfortable with you. If they come to you and actually tell you, and it might be more of a joke. And if you don't just fire back at them saying, I didn't say that, they'll eventually, I mean, my aides, they would come to me and say, did you really just say that? Did you just mess up and just say that? And it becomes a laughing matter. It's nothing very serious or anything, but they critiqued you and you get good feedback and you polish your communication skills.
The difference that I've seen just from being a patient in a doctor's office and a student in a PT clinic is the differences that you have are when you're one-on-one with a physician, no one's listening to that physician. But when you're in a PT clinic, you've got a room full of people. You've got other PTs, you've got techs, as you said, you got PTAs. Everybody's listening to you. You're being judged the whole time by your peers. Having a good relationship with them is fantastic. I mean, I strive to try to never be the smartest guy in the room because that would be a really boring room if I was the smartest guy in the room. So yeah, well, I think that's exactly summing up what you mean is don't try to be the smartest guy in the room, but try to pick the room apart and say, hey, did you hear what I did there? How would you have said that? Or what did you see? Or how would you have treated that? It just makes for it facilitates a conversation instead of, hey, did you see what I just did there? That was the best thing ever. I'm the best guy ever. No one's ever going to want to talk to you or work with you. But hey, I got that patient with that thing. I did this. What would you have done? And then just shut up.
Yeah,
that's essentially asking for advice, but it's saying, hey, I respect you enough that I would like to know what you thought there. Because you were in the room with me. You saw that guy's knee move, and I did this. What would you have done? Because maybe what I did wasn't the best. Maybe I can pick something up from you.
If you think you know 110% of what you should be doing,
yeah,
you're probably wrong.
That's good.
And I will tell you that. So you seek input from others. You are an athlete. It's always a team approach.
Yeah.
It really should be. Even if you don't have someone right then and there, you have the next appointment. You can go seek a mentor. You can go ask some questions. My lovely wife, Catherine DeNoyles, speech pathologist, kind of my inspiration.
We're going to have her in an episode.
Yeah,
she wrote a blog post.
We definitely should. She's been friends with you since before I've known either one of you.
Sophomore year of high school, I believe.
But she's got some rapid fire, some hot seat.
Oh, great.
Let's fire these off.
All right.
If you weren't a PT, what would you be? Don't say radio host.
I would be a radio DJ. I was a radio DJ. If I was not a PT, I was legitimately applying to PT school and I didn't know the odds. So I was like, maybe I don't get into PT school. I wanted to be a parajumper. An Air Force parajumper, which is you got a parachute on your back and you're like a paramedic who just jumps out of planes. I was like, if I don't get into PT school, I'll like enlist or something. I don't know. I'll be a Marine. Cause like they don't turn many people away. I wanted acceptance.
All right.
So my point is, so what I would have done, I would have been a parajumper. I wanted to jump out of planes and do that. Or I would have been one of those Coast Guard rescue swimmers. Cause that was I saw a TV show on that and that looked cool.
Right.
Although in Miami, not in Alaska. Because I don't like cold.
All right. So earlier you mentioned you're going to have some days where you feel like you're the best PT in the world. Mm-hmm. And some days, and I have this often, I go by weeks. I feel like I can get everybody better. You touch them, healed. Boom. Some weeks it's like everyone's a little complicated and everyone's a little irritated. What's the best line to get you through or to get someone through a crappy day? A Ooh. Shitty day.
What's the best line? Are we having fun yet? I said this multiple times in my last clinical affiliation. I would turn to a tech or the PTA or my CI, and we'd have a patient who would show up 15 minutes late, and then the other patient would show up on time, and we're double booked, we're triple booked, and I'm like, we've got to do something with these patients, and we would look at each other, and we're like, are we having fun yet?
Right.
Because we should be, because, I mean, really, we have a chance to help people. I know things get hectic, and we got paperwork, and blah, blah, blah. Are we having fun yet? Because this should be fun, and if it's not, I don't want in.
Good.
So we ask that all the time.
I love that answer. Yet. So you're talking about you have little time. It's lunchtime. You got about 10 minutes till your next patient. You're still writing your notes.
Right.
You're eating like whatever's available,
scarfing
like
a
Snickers bar, right? I lived on Snickers bars during my residency because that's all I had access to and it's all I brought. You got to get through the rest of the afternoon, maybe the night because you got a 12-hour shift. What song do you want to play to get you into that mode?
AC/DC Thunderstruck.
Man, that's boom. I have nothing better to say about that one.
If you don't get excited, if your pulse doesn't raise by at least 30 beats per minute at AC/DC's Thunderstruck, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're dead to me.
Right. No, it's pumped. You get pumped.
Right.
So if you can dub that in during this. And this is from my wife, not me. You say a lot of words.
I say
There's
words.
There's just a lot of stuff coming out, right?
That's what she said.
What's your favorite word?
Oh, my God. Do I have a favorite word? I say so many. I figure that words are both my weapon and my protection against the world. It keeps people away and draws them in. It does both. What's my favorite word?
This is tough because you need to use a lot of them. We know you.
I need to use a lot of them. I need to baffle them with bullshit. I mean, I say fuck a lot. I mean, it's so versatile. It could be a noun, a verb, an adjective. Right. It can't be my favorite, though.
If you're in the clinic and you need to say something
don't
to
say
a
fuck.
Patient,
don't
right,
say
what are you going to say?
I love you. No,
that's three words.
What do I say? Relax. I don't know. I got no. This is a tough one.
You know what?
Relax.
I like that. I like that.
Relax.
Why?
Because what's the worst that could happen? Look, I'm in PT. I'm probably not going to kill you. Probably. You know, if there's a chance that you're dying, you need direct pressure in an ambulance. Said before.
Right.
So relax. We'll figure it out. But if one word, if you got it narrowed down to one word, relax.
I like it.
Because I also want to relax at that point, too.
You're going to get a lot of people with anxiety.
High strung.
And they just got a diagnosis of whatever.
Oh, my God.
DJG. Something, right?
I hear bone on bone one more time.
Bone on bone.
All my bones. All my bones touch. You know?
Right. You're not going to want to just rush out and say, relax, explain it, and then tell them to relax.
Right.
And then they'll understand where you're coming from.
And then I'll follow. We'll figure it out.
Very good. I like that. It's not what I was expecting, but that's perfect. If you're stuck on a deserted PT island, what's the only piece... only PT piece of equipment you would want? Ultrasound, huh?
No, I would. That's a good question. Something heavy. I don't care what. Because you can make most people better by just making them lift heavy things. So a weight.
I like it.
Give me something heavy to lift, to make them lift.
I often say my boss, Justin Sullivan, he's the owner of my company. I stole this from somebody. It's, you give us a floor and a wall. We have some fancy equipment. We got a squat rack. We got kettlebells. We got a Kaiser... Everything. You give us a floor and a wall,
we'll figure it out.
We're going to figure it out. Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. I can make that move harder by making you do it on 1 foot, or I can make you do it by whatever.
Right. We'll find your weakness.
You need to lift heavy things to make yourself stronger.
Good.
Air squats and yellow TheraBand is going to cut it.
The Eric Mira. Load it.
Load it.
Right.
When in doubt, load it.
Short-term goals.
Begin to learn now. Now that I'm graduated, I think now I'm supposed to start learning.
You can start getting a little more specific. PT school, they gotta train you for the boards.
Right.
It's very broad. You gotta learn all different areas.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what you're going into, neuro, pediatrics, sports, ortho. Now it's time. You learn, but now it's time to get specific.
I'm not gonna close a notebook. Now it's time to make sure the notebook is wide open and start taking notes.
Right.
Because now this is where I apply. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is when I start to apply things now. Because now I'm supposed to know everything.
Exactly. And you know what? You're going to learn more just by doing and making mistakes.
Excited for that. So I am excited for that.
You went all through this. You went through how many years of radio back and took prerequisites.
Mm-hmm.
I did a similar road.
Yeah, you did the same thing too.
You know, I wasn't a radio, but I was in a totally different career. I put my family through a lot of shit, right? My wife's sitting there and she's nodding her head in absolute agreement, right? But here we are.
Okay.
At the end, when you retire and you look back on all this, what do you want to be able to say that you did? Or what do you want people to recognize you did? And I know you're not in for all the fame and everything, but what did you eventually want to get out of this?
God, everybody says, how'd you make the switch from radio to PT? I never had PT. I've never had an injury where I had to go to PT, which is like a typical thing where everybody answers on the essays to get into PT school. I was training for a triathlon, and one of the guys that I was training with was a PT. And when you're riding your bike for 4+ hours in the Poconos, you need to talk about something. And I would talk about my job. He would talk about his job. And we'd just talk about what, at the end of the day, he would get someone who was in a car accident and he would teach him how to walk. And, in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, that person would leave and be better. So what would I like to people to remember? That I did that a couple times. I would like to, if I can help one person, if this whole stupid journey was worth one person, great, it was worth it. What would I like the people to know about me? That's deep, that's philosophical, I like it. Never the biggest or strongest or smartest or fastest, but that I had a motor, that I was willing to say, all right, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I'm going to need to work twice as hard or three times as hard to measure up to everybody else who is in the room. So I guess if I wanted someone to remember something nice about me, what's going to be on the headstone is that he had a motor. He was willing to bust his ass to make sure he met par, that he got to where he needed to be able to be the guy for someone, for that person who needs you. And that's, that person is, every 30, 45 or 60 minutes when you're in clinic, that's the patient. Are you good? Did you bust your ass enough to know something extra that you needed to know for that particular patient to make them better? So hopefully I do.
I can't top that. So at the end of every episode of the PT Pinecast, you get to ask some of these amazing clinicians, some of these amazing patients.
Super smart, yeah.
Right? Their parting shot. And I think we've heard things from you, and it's fine if you repeat things. I think you've kind of integrated some of your thoughts, but we do a parting shot. We're going to do a shot right now.
Let's do a shot.
Right? Let's do a shot.
What do you have?
I'm going to have to look in the back cabinet. I think we might have some. Yeah. Just
go in the liquor cabinet. We've never had a shot while we did parting shots.
Let's talk your parting shot. What do you have to say? Let's sum it all up. We have new students, we have current students, and we have new grads. Let's leave the seasoned clinicians out of it. What are your parting shots? What do you say? Because you're right in the thick of all that right now.
Right. I'm in the middle. Okay. So I'm in the pocket. I think trust in the profession. You've obviously selected the PT profession as yours, and it's not an easy one to get into. You got to jump through a lot of hoops. You're not there by accident. So if you're in PT school right now, enjoy it for a hot second. You know, you didn't get into PT school by accident. I think I got in because of the old white guy quota. I'm just guessing. But relax and realize that you got there by accident. That you didn't get there. We're not doing a shot of gin.
I know, don't.
Are you kidding me? Put that bottle away. You didn't get there by accident. And realize that you're going to learn a lot and you're going to be able to help somebody. So I guess I'd give them the same advice, which would be my favorite word, relax. It's going to be okay.
I like it.
Good words.
Good words to go by. I hope this gets some good reception. I hope that people kind of hear what you just went through. And I don't think they totally understand what you have achieved until they actually go through it.
Yeah.
Yes, licensed PTs, they've got it. And I think there's going to be some students listening to this. So I hope they hear this and kind of digest it. Dr. James R. McKay, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. We thank you for taking the time. And we thank you for providing such an incredible service that is the PT Pinecast, you and your team.
We have a team.
It's not all you.
No.
Right. And I think sometimes that gets overshadowed.
Yeah, so I want to thank Tom Stormer, and Rachel German, Molly, Megan. We're bringing new students on. And if you want to help out, I mean, we've never actually solicited for help. But if you want to help out, email us. If you can't figure out the email, I don't want your help, because you should be able to do better research than that.
All right. So that's it for the PT Pinecast. Thank you, Jimmy McKay.
Thanks for having me on my show. There we go. That was good.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Working at his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present.
Our lawyers made us read that.